Hallelujah. I'm Brother Mark. Some of you were here last year. You know me. That was my wife, Sister Rita, that was singing. And of course, we are very glad to be back again this year. And we are bringing to you the message of the Kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I have got 100 things that I want to talk about. But I want to follow where I believe the Spirit is leading us. And I want to kind of build a little bit on what Brother Bert was talking about earlier this morning. Brother Bert brought you the word that there is a secret place under the shadow of the wings of the Most High. And I remember we were talking about this yesterday over at Brother Telehun's little fellowship down there on the south end of town. Or maybe it was the other group, I'm not sure. Amen. You know, where Jesus saw the destruction that was coming. And he was mainly speaking to the religious community. Because they were mainly the ones who had rejected him. You know, he said that the harlots and the publicans, the sinners, are going to come into the kingdom before those religious leaders. And so he wept over his people. He wept over Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem has a natural meaning and Jerusalem has a spiritual meaning. Jerusalem is a natural city in a nation called Israel. But Jerusalem is also a name that means God's people. And so Jesus wept over his people and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I see the destruction that is coming upon you." And he said, "I would like to take you under my wings, but you would not." So it was their rejection of his word that brought their destruction. And I believe that God is saying something very parallel to the world today. You know, the message of the kingdom is that there is a way of escape. Jesus said in Matthew 24, I believe, "Pray that ye might be worthy of the escape." Now I want to talk about a provision that God has made that we will escape some of the terrible things of this tribulation. You are quite sure that the Word of God says that there is a great shaking coming. Hebrews chapter 12 makes it quite clear. In this great shaking, we all understand that all that is called Babylon is going to be destroyed. And if I had time, we could go into the 17th and 18th chapter of Revelation. You can write that down. Amen. We've got many good translators here. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'll just say this. Babylon is on many aspects. I think of at least three. There's a political Babylon. The nations, the political nations. Brethren, you are surely aware of what is going on in the north of Africa. All these political empires are falling. The political hold of Egypt, Tunisia, Gaddafi's place, what is it?
Libya,
yeah, Bahrain. Yeah. So there's a Babylon in the political realm, but there's also a Babylon in the economic realm. And the economies of the world are also being shaken. But probably the Babylon aspect that God is most concerned about is the religious Babylon. And I tell you, brethren, that every aspect of Babylon is going to fall. Now, I'm not involved in politics. I hope that I'm not involved in religious Babylon. I'm not sure that I have gotten out of economic Babylon yet. I still use the currency. And I still use the bank. However, I realize that these things are going to fall. And so I have to know in my mind that there is a place that God will care for us. Hallelujah. There's a shaking coming, brethren. Hallelujah. So let us start in Revelation, the 7th chapter. And I'll just read the first 4 verses here. After these things, I saw 4 angels standing on the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree.
ሰባቱንም ጽዋዎች ከያዙ ከሰባቱ መልአክ አንድ ወጥቶና በብዙም ውሃዎች ላይ የተቀመጠችውን የታላቂቱን ጋለሞታ ፍርድ አሳያለ። የምድርን ነገሥታት ከእርሷ ጋር ሲኬስሉ በምድርም የሚኖሩ ከዝሙቱ ዓይነ ጠጅ ሰከሩ። ብዙ ተናገረ፣ በመንፈስም ወደ በረሃ ወሰደች። የስድብ ስሞች በሞሉበት 7 ተራሶችና 10 ቀንዶችን ባሉበት በቀይ አውሬ ላይ አንድ ሴት ተቀምጣ አየው እያለ ይቀጥላል። ከአራት ቁጥር
Now brethren, Revelation particularly is a spiritual book. You cannot understand Revelation unless you are willing to come higher in spiritual understanding. If you're thinking of the ground outside and the ocean and the trees that are out here, you're thinking only on a natural lower level. But these trees, this earth, this sea is not what God is talking about here. The sea is talking about the many, many, many unsaved people in the world. Hallelujah. The earth is speaking of the carnal realm, which includes carnal Christians. Amen. And the what was the other one? The trees. The trees speak of strong Christians who have life in them. Now, the Lord is saying in this sixth chapter that He is holding back the winds of adversity that are going to blow upon our soul until something. Amen? The great tribulation has not yet begun. God is the one who is holding it back. He's shaking the earth, but He's holding it back. Amen. And now in the next verse, and He said, I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Did you finish the verse?
Yeah.
Okay. Now you notice that it's going to be given permission to hurt the earth and the sea. That would be the unredeemed people and the carnal Christians. The Christians who do not have a life relationship with Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Now, the word angel means messenger. In the book of Revelation, you have angels who are people, who were people. You get toward the end of the book, I forget what chapter, I think it's about 20 or something, you find that John went down on his face before one of the bright angels. I think it's chapter 20. And he said, no, don't do it. I'm one of your fellow servants. I'm of your brethren. So here we see that an angel is ascending, which means he's coming up out of the east. Now you know the tabernacle faced the east, the opening door of the tabernacle. And so the tabernacle representing the people of God was facing east, which means they were open to the mind of God. So here's a messenger of God coming up, rising up from the mind of God. And I don't believe that this angel is only one individual, but I believe it's a number of messengers of God who are human beings in this day bringing this message. So as we read this word today, you are hearing from an angel who is bringing you the word of God. And he has the seal of the living God. He has the seal. Okay. Oh, amen. We have a new translator here. Amen. I'm glad you're here, brother. I'm glad you're feeling better. Amen. Yes. So I said this messenger has the seal of the living God. Do you understand what this means? What this means is the message that you are hearing concerning the seal has the ability to seal you. God is in the process now of sealing his servants. If you will hear, if you will lay hold, and if you will act upon what the word is asking of you, you can be sealed. Here's the message that was given. Chapter 7, Revelation, verse 3. Revelation chapter 7 verse 3. Amen. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.
የአምላካችን ባሪያዎች ግንባራቸው ልክናቸው ድረስ ምድርን ቢሆን ወይም ባህርን ወይም ዛፎችን አትግዱ አላቸው።
In other words, the word of God is, don't release this tribulation until you have had a chance to be sealed in your mind.
በሌላ አገላለጽ ይህንን መከራ እንዳትገልጡት ልጆቹ
Amen. The forehead speaks of your mind. And God is waiting. He's waiting for a few more. He's waiting for a quickening in your heart that you've heard this word. And you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to be among those that are sealed. And the fourth verse says, and I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000. All the tribes of the children of Israel. Now remember, I said that Revelation is a spiritual book. This is not just natural Jews, even though some of you claim to be Semites. It includes people like me. And my background is probably not Semite, but maybe it is. We're talking about the spiritual seed of Abraham. Come now, Paul understood this. He knew who the seed of Abraham really was. It includes any man who accepts Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And this number, 144,000, is also a spiritual number. How do you get 144? It's the square root of what? Square root of 12. Yes. And 12 is the number of divine order of government. Now, let me take you with, we can go so many places with this, but let me take you over to chapter 14 of Revelation also. And we, just another little verse here, the first verse. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now, how do you get your father's name written on your foreheads? What is your father's name? What's going to be written on your foreheads? No, it's not on your foreheads, it's going to be in. Amen. It's going to be embedded in your soul. Your nature is going to be the nature of God. Peter said we are going to be partakers of His divine nature. You're not going to see something printed in ink across my forehead. You know, I said this in another country in Eastern Europe one time. A woman got very angry at me. A woman, yes. She wanted something printed on her forehead. Amen. No, we're going to know, we will be known by the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So let me go back now to Revelation chapter 9. I just want to give you a few examples here. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Let's just stop and get a little understanding here. What do we mean by a star? Are you thinking one of those bright things up in the sky at night? Do you know that those stars that you see in the heaven, most of them are bigger than our sun? They are hot. They are full of burning hydrogen and helium. If anything like that ever fell and hit our earth, it would immediately be annihilated. No. Stars are people. Hollywood stars, soccer stars, football stars, sports stars. Come on, the world knows who stars are. And they call them stars. The world calls their stars stars. Yeah. But we're talking about a spiritual star here. My goodness, you know, there are all kinds of religious stars. They get their stardom because we have television. In the old days, they got their stars by being having a big tent. We were in a home the other day and they had their television turned on. It wasn't here in Ethiopia. And they had a fellow, I think he's from Nigeria. I mean, the camera was going and there were thousands here and there were thousands there and there were thousands here. And this man was walking around amongst all these people. And all I could think was, this is one of the stars. You know, brethren, God said stars are going to fall.
The biblical principle would be the dream of Joseph.
Yes. Jacob clearly interpreted Joseph's dream. When Joseph dreamed the dream about the sun and the moon and the stars bowing to him, Jacob clearly understood, oh, you're talking about mother, your mother and I bowing also in addition to your brothers? Yeah, see, these have meaning. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on from that verse. He says there was a star that fell to earth.
Verse number one.
That means there was a strong spiritual being who fell from his place, his spiritual place in God, and he fell into a carnal, earthly realm. By the way, my observation is most of these stars have already come down into a carnal realm. But that's just my observation. But this particular star was given a key. He had the ability somehow with his influence to open up the abyss. He must have been a very powerful individual. He must have had a lot of influence over Christian people. And he apparently brought a teaching or a doctrine that opened up hell. Not only was he given the key, but he went ahead and used it. It says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Because of the abomination of the word and the spirit that this man were bringing and spreading over the church, it even the sun, even the influence of God was darkened in the earth. Amen. Now God himself is not darkened, but when the people are blinded that they cannot see, then as far as we are concerned, the light of God is darkened. You know that verse in Matthew 24, I started to read it yesterday and I got distracted. Bert started to read it and he didn't go on. But I want to go on with that verse now. No, it's not in Matthew 24, it's in Luke 17, I think it is. Let me go back to Luke 17, 20, I think it is. Oh yeah, here it is, Luke 17. We never got to that verse. Yeah, Luke 17, 20, 21, and 22, and 23, okay? So this verse starts off by telling us that the kingdom of God does not come with something that we can see or hear with our eyes, natural observation. In other words, here's the way most Christians think that they will recognize the kingdom of God. Oh, here's a great man in Texas. He's really got a thing going.
No,
I'm not talking about Bert. My hand is just going somewhere. Amen. No. Here comes a big man. Here's a man in Florida who's getting a lot of attention. And indeed, what was it? A year ago, 2 years ago, there was something going on in Florida, in America. You ask the people of Nigeria. Yes, there's a big name in Nigeria going on. But insofar as this man in Florida was concerned, we were in a European country several years ago, and some of the brethren said to us, are you aware of what's going on the God Channel? I didn't even know there was such a thing as a God Channel. We don't have television. I could afford it, but I'm not going to have one. Because there's too much abomination comes on the television. Come on, brethren. It isn't just the abomination from the channels of the world. It's the abomination that from the God Channels. So they said, have you heard about this man? I said, no. Well, they turned the television on for us, and this man was going around, bam, 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 and people were falling over. And see, this is something that people see with their eyes. And people were saying, oh, this is the kingdom of God. This must be the great prophet that is coming. You know what? In less than a year, this star fell. He fell into adultery with a woman. They shut it down. People from our community were going down there in droves. I mean, New York to Florida, more than 1,000 miles. Pastors pastors that I know were taking their congregation down there and saying, we need to know what's going on down here. Yes, these men are my friends. And they were deceived because they saw something with their eyes and they said, oh, it must be God. Now, I want to get to this verse.
Verse number 23.
Well, let's go down to it. Verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Just because a big name has come down to your sports stadium, you must have big names that come to your stadium. You got a nice big stadium here. Do you have big stars that come to the stadium? Sure. Now listen to what God is saying. Are you going to obey what the Spirit of God says? Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom is within you. Don't go looking out there. It's in you. Jesus Christ in me. The living life of the Spirit of God in here. All I'm going to find down at the stadium is a big show. I'll get entertained. I will have entertainment. I can have entertainment by going to the circus. That's what they do. They put on a show. Come on. I'm going to be blunt and plain about it. I saw what was happening in Nigeria. And the camera focused in and there was a woman that they were thrashing around on the floor. And a woman vomited all over the floor and the camera focused in on it. What does that have to do with the kingdom of God? Let me go down. And he said to the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. In other words, Jesus is saying, you'll be looking for me in the flesh. You want me back. And in your wanting me back, you'll probably look to a man. And many will come saying, I am Christ. But no man is stupid enough to come and say, I am Jesus Christ. But you see, the word Christ means charisma. And it translates charismatic. And so they will say, yeah, so they will say, this star is very charismatic.
Charismatic.
There. Did the translators all get it?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, so we can say he's charismatic, which is almost the equivalent of saying he is like Christ. You know, we've had presidents that they have said he's charismatic.
Presidents?
Presidents, yes. And political leaders. I remember they said Kennedy is very charismatic, you know. It means he has charm and he is able to connect with people. Now listen, let's go to the next verse. They will say unto you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. Wow. Why don't we put that verse on the top of the stadium? Do you realize that thousands and thousands of Christians are not reading their Bible? That means that thousands upon thousands of Christians do not have a relationship of the Spirit of God with Jesus Christ. Do you understand how we are going to be deceived? The devil is not going to come with red pajamas and a pitchfork. And a big sign on his forehead saying, I am the devil. No, he's going to come like a big star and everybody's going to say, ooh, wow. You know, Brother Bert just told you they missed the coming of Jesus Christ in his day. And you know what? The church is going to miss it in our generation. They are going to accept Antichrist. Do you know that the word, now people are criticizing me because I'm a wordsmith. You know what a wordsmith is? I believe that words are very important and the meaning of words. Antichrist does not mean Christ white, Antichrist black. It means a substitute Christ who is like Christ. But he's a counterfeit. Angel of light is the way Satan comes. Look here. Is this real or is this counterfeit? It's what?
It's
you think it's real?
Yeah.
That's because I got it at the bank. But you know, maybe I could get this from the street and I wouldn't know the difference. How are you going to know the difference? Amen? Now the people at the bank, they have their ways of knowing. Amen? They have to discern what is right and what is not right. They hold it up like this. They put their little blue light on it and they look it over. You know, come on, they're not going to be deceived. Are we as believers that interested in avoiding deception? Come on, we are giving you scripture of the Word of God. Go to the Word of God when you get home. Look it up. Read it. Ask God what it means. Ask God to show you by the Spirit of God what it means. Hallelujah. Well, let me get back to Revelation if we can. I'm talking about how we can avoid being deceived. Jesus said in Matthew 24, if it were possible, this thing would deceive the very elect. How many of you are believers? How many of you are elect? Yes. How many of you want to be among the very elect? Amen. I do too. Now this deception that is coming is so strong. If it were possible, it could deceive me. I'm going to ask a question I asked yesterday. Could you be deceived? Let me ask another question.
No, we're not going to be deceived.
Amen. Well, let me ask another question. Have you ever been deceived? Before you came to Jesus Christ, you were deceived, weren't you? Did they say yes or no?
Yes,
okay. Your yes and your no is difficult for me to discern.
Yes, how? And no is I.
You know, we knew people that did it the opposite.
Oh, where? You mean here?
No, not. Where was it, Bert? In India.
Okay.
In India, when they say no, they go like this. And when they say yes, they go like this. So I just have to ask and make sure. Alright, so there was a time when you were deceived. There was a time that I was deceived. You know, but I tell you what, brethren, if you will go to the Word of God and ask the Spirit of God to guide you and come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, He and He alone will protect you from deception. Now, we are going to have the seal of God in our mind. Because some of our friends will say, lo here. Some of your church friends will say, lo there. And you're going to have to make a decision, and you're going to become unpopular because you will not go. And they will scoff at you. I'm talking about your best friends. They will scorn you. They will call you names. They'll call you goody two shoes.
Goody two shoes.
That doesn't translate. No, it doesn't translate. It means you're too good for me. You just think you're better than everybody else. Amen? No, we've had that happen. The mainstream flow of Christianity is not going to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. The earth is going to be hurt. Now let me take you to Revelation chapter 11. I'm only going to do a couple of verses here. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod.
Verse number one.
You know, Revelation has got things that God is assigning to human beings. The angel that was rising from the east was coming up from earth. He's a human being. No, let me say, he is a company of human beings. A company of messengers. Now, here is John, a human being, and he is saying, the angel is saying to John, rise and measure. Rise and measure the house of God. Now, what is the Word of God doing today? The Word that we are preaching is calling for the house of God to examine yourself. In other words, this Word is giving a standard with the measuring rod of the Word, and the Word is saying to the people of God, how do you measure up? And it says, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. The temple of God that is being referred to is this portion here. Here. This altar, this golden altar here, and them that worship here. You say, well, how do you know it's that altar? And not this altar here. Because the next verse says, leave this part out. So he's saying the golden altar and the holy place church. Are you comprehending what I'm saying? If you understand what I'm saying, you will understand that there is an outer court church. There is an outer court church. And there is a holy place church. Now, brethren, what year, some of you are scholars, what year was the book of Revelation written? I'm told that it was written about the year 90 AD, right? What year was Jerusalem destroyed, including the temple of Jerusalem? 70. In other words, the Jewish temple had been destroyed already 20 years when this was written. This cannot be referring to a natural temple. This is referring to a spiritual people. Hallelujah. So he says here, measure the holy place church. This message is being given to a holy place people. It is also being given to an outer court people who are willing to come from the outer court into the holy place. It is saying that there will be protection in here. And it is also giving a warning to the outer court Christians verse 2, and he says, but the court which is outside the temple, leave it out and measure it not. If God is saying that something is not to be measured, not to be examined, that means that the decision has already been made by God that it will come under judgment. Its destruction has already been sealed. Amen. He said, leave it out and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles. And the holy city, which means the spiritual Jerusalem of these people, shall they tread underfoot 42 months. This is saying again, we're confirming the word that Bert brought this morning. That the world system, the political realm of the world, the Gentiles, that's what the Gentiles mean, are going to destroy the big segment of the church. Come now, I didn't write it. I'm sorry if you don't like it. I didn't write it. I'm telling you what it means. If you find yourself in that outer court place, it is time to run. You know, there are a number of places where God is telling us to run. He's telling you, if you are in Babylon, you need to flee from her. Flee. Why? Why? He says, because she is going to be destroyed. And if you hold on to her, you will be destroyed with her. In other words, God has made a way of escape for you. If you will not avail yourself of it, he cannot protect you. Because the thing that he is saying is under judgment and it is going to be destroyed. He allowed the people of Rome to destroy natural Jerusalem. And he is going to assign the Gentiles the job of destroying the outer court church. Hallelujah. I'm going to read one more verse. Oh, I have so much more to say about being sealed. Maybe tomorrow. But let me leave. I have to always end with good news. Isn't it Isaiah 20, Rita? Isaiah 20? 26. 26:20, I think it is. Oh yes, 26:20. I knew there was a 20 in there somewhere. Listen to this. Hallelujah. Come, my people. Come, my people. Come. God is not saying go. He's saying come. He's saying come out of Babylon. He is saying come out of the outer court. Why? Because he's in here. I mean, you know, I'm going to tell you, I wish I had time to tell you, you're even going to have to come out of this place. Because of the abomination of desolation that's come into this place. And you're going to have to flee through the veil. Do you know what the veil is? The veil is the flesh of our mind. The carnality of my thinking that does not permit me to see what God is saying. I want to get through that veil. But I say, oh, I just can't seem to see it. I don't see it the way you see it, Brother Mark. Pray to God that my veil can be torn down. You see, as far as God is concerned, there's no veil. He ripped that veil when Jesus died. But I still have a veil in me. Paul said the veil is still on the eyes when Moses is being read. Come now, it isn't just Jews that have a veil. We have a blinding of our eyes too. But brethren, we're going to have to break through if we're going to be saved. Come, my people. Amen. God was in the ark when he called to Noah and he said, come. Go back to Genesis 6 and 7 and read it for yourself. He didn't say go into the ark. He said come into the ark. Which means that God was already in that place of safety and he's calling us to him. Jesus is calling us into a relationship with him that will save us from this tribulation. The disciples said, Lord, are there few that be saved? His answer, the narrow door. The narrow door. He said, many will want to come in, but will not be able. Come, my people, enter thou into the chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, a little moment, until the indignation be over and past. Behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. The time of judgment is in our time. I don't know what year, but I know it's our time. And He has made a provision for you. It's not a thing you can come into by works, but by the Spirit. God bless you. Amen.